Hello, this is The Science Show on Cambridge 105. If you do your bit to save water, you'll be intrigued by how much water is used in the oil industry. We talk to the inventors of a technology to help industry recycle huge amounts of water and save a major environmental problem. Did you know that an oil well is actually a water well? This is me, Roger Frost. Also presenting today's show is fellow scientist Chris Creese. What's on today?
Well, you'll notice a cross-Atlantic flavor to our guests on today's show. We've Matthew Bruff from Denver visiting Cambridge and talking about his company's water distillation technology that recycles energy.
When you hear about our need to save water and not use hose pipes, we might forget that some industries are major users of water and their activities add all sorts of noxious materials to it. Matt Bruff's company have remarkable technology for recycling water. I ask him what industries call upon his services.
The industry we're in is the oil and gas industry, where we have a newly patented technology, a water desalinization technology that we're applying into that industry to clean up the dirty water that comes out of the ground with oil and gas exploration.
Now, one of the things I noticed on your website was that you deal with the waste of fracking, which is this kind of new process which we're just experimenting with over here in Lancashire. That involves a lot of water, does it not?
Absolutely. When we started the company back in 2004, there wasn't really a lot of fracking back in the United States. It's a relatively recent practice where they inject huge amounts of water into the ground under great pressure to basically crack these tight gas seams in these shale basins. Including in that frack water is some sand, or oftentimes a polymer, which will actually stick into the little cracks and allow the natural gas to keep flowing. These large horizontal wells that are being developed in the United States and now being, you know, for lack of a better word, exported to different areas of the world, will use anywhere from 3 to 6 million gallons of water per frack job.
What's in this water that comes out of it?
Yep, so it's actually kind of a proprietary blend. The manufacturers don't really publish exactly what's in there. So the United States has had a lot of different studies the last year and a half. Basically, the chemicals that are used help with the friction reducers, some of the biologicals, and various chemicals get pumped into the ground. And then when it returns back to the surface as frack flowback water, it'll basically have additional constituents that come from the ground, whether that's chloride, some sulfates, basically your total dissolved solids, your suspended solids, and there might be some metals or some naturally occurring radioactive materials that come back once it's been down there in the earth.
What would have happened in the past when someone had a process like that?
Yep, so historically the oil and gas wells, often people don't know, they're actually just water wells that also produce valuable hydrocarbons or natural gas. So having said that, the water that comes up with that natural gas and oil exploration is often called production water. That's historically been transported off-site, and they put them into large evaporation ponds and or re-inject them back under the ground in what in the United States is termed as an underground injection control program. And basically, they're just returning the dirty water to where it came from.
And presumably, they hope that it would have diluted out, and do they sort of leach it into rivers and things like that?
Yeah, so then exactly. So there's a new basin, relatively new, about the last 3 years, there in the northeastern United States called the Marcellus Shale Basin. And with this new development, they've started doing a lot of fracking there the last 3 years. When they first arrived and they were developing that large shale basin, the regulators allowed the water to be diluted and placed back into the surface waters of the states via a sewage treatment facility. And the way they would do that is that the sewage treatment facility obviously has water quality requirements, but they basically have such huge volumes that the frack water could be slipstreamed into it and basically diluted and still meet the water quality requirements.
Your company has invented some technology which makes that water better.
Exactly. So, you know, it's been an interesting a journey here the last 6 years. We like to think that we saw some of the fracking and some of these tightening regulations on the horizon, but we hadn't. It was an interesting development, and our original goal was to provide an alternative solution that would actually help reduce the freshwater demands in a lot of these basins, all the while trying to find a beneficial use for some of this recycled water. So there's been a lot of regulatory changes here the last year, driven by the EPA in various states, where they're saying no longer can you put that back into the stream. You actually need to treat it so that the total dissolved solids are no greater than 500 parts per million. So basically the states are saying, if you can treat that to drinking water standards, yes, and you can return them back into the streams. Otherwise, we're no longer going to allow the discharge of that. So that's where we come in with our company. We have recently patented desalinization technology that we're able to apply at a cost that is lower than having to truck that away to a commercial reinjection facility or a large evaporation site.
So normal desalination, as I understand it, either uses the power of the sun or massive amounts of energy to power it. How are you addressing that?
This the technology was originally developed by a professor out in a Western State University there in the United States. We've since licensed it and further developed it and added additional patents. And basically, the main platform is a thermal distillation platform. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's not new. The Egyptians have been doing that for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. The knock, if you will, is that it uses too much energy, as you said, Roger, though it will produce the gold standard of water quality, because you're basically evaporating it, recapturing that clean steam, and recondensing it out as pure distilled water. So we've been able to say, well, let's try to figure out how to reduce that energy by reusing the energy multiple times. Now, that obviously is not new. That's been around for 40 years through various other technologies like multi-stage flash, mechanical vapor compression, who all reuse the energy. And frankly, it's very, very prevalent in many parts of the world for large desalinization projects.
How could you save energy on that?
The technology basically mimics Mother Nature, wherein it's very simple, elegant. And as we know, Mother Nature is a perfect desalinator of water. So you have the oceans that are providing all of this rainwater throughout the world. But interestingly, they're not boiling the ocean. Mother Nature simply evaporates the water out of the ocean, which is extremely high in salinity, 35,000 milligrams per liter on average. That becomes a nice rain cloud that, as it moves over, for example, from the Pacific to, let's say, the western United States, hit a cooler temperature and then can't hold on to that water and therefore releases it as pure rain. We've coined our technology Altella Rain, because we're doing the exact same thing, but within a small distillation tower. It's about 14 feet tall. Each one does about 3,000 gallons per day. We normally link up 12 and create a module, so that each module, which is basically delivered via one semi-truck, does about 31,000 gallons per day.
And how good is the water compared to the water going into it?
With any desalinization technology, normally with the thermal platforms, you're going to have incredibly clean water, because you're obviously just boiling and recapturing the clean distilled water. So if the technology is working, be it our technology or any other evaporative technology, you will be creating extremely clean distilled water. Historically, the volumes, though, have been less, though the water quality can be incredibly challenged. So our technology, unlike reverse osmosis or some of the other electronic or chemical desalinization methods that can really only desalinate up to anywhere from 10 to 12,000 parts per million TDS. That becomes the kind of the physical limitation of them. Mm-hmm. We can go well, well past that, almost nearly to the point of saturation, which becomes the physical limit. It may not be economical, but we can certainly take the dirtiest water and basically desalinate it, create distilled water. But obviously, we're going to do lower volumes than a reverse osmosis, which can do incredibly high volumes of relatively low-challenged water.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. That's excellent. I really wish you every success with your visit here and what you're doing.
And we actually have Matt in our studio today, and it looks like he brought us some more marshmallows. Thanks, Matt. And I have another question for you. Does this distillation technology reduce the radioactivity of fracking water? Because there was a recent study by The Times that showed that the majority of wells have up to 1,000 times higher radioactive elements than allowed by the federal standard for drinking water?
It's a great question, Chris, and thank you very much for allowing me to be here in the studio today. The radionuclides, whether it's a radium-226 or 228, It's certainly been getting a lot of attention there in the United States. They're reviewing a lot of the regulatory requirements now. It's frankly a heavy element, similar to a metal. So with respect to the thermal desalinization process, those heavy elements will be left behind, similar to the metals. When we've done a lot of testing over the last 6 years, we have come out to be nearly non-detect. The regulatory limit in the states currently is 5 picocuries per liter, and we are well below 1 on our test.
That's great to hear, Matt. Thanks so much.
This is Cambridge 105.
And that's pretty much all for today. That leaves us to say thank you to Matt Bruff of Altila Incorporated.
It's bye from me, Chris Kreese.
And bye from me, Roger Frost.